Okay, I'm recording now. I didn't understand what you just said, but that's not
either.
That's not new. You just did your adult what?
I dispelled my adult energy, so I'm very happy. I'm in euphoria.
Howard, did you register on this site or just call them or show up?
You mean originally or as second time?
The second one, it says register to receive your shot, and then it goes on to talk about a second dose or something.
I just called.
Yeah.
No, what I did first, though, is when I got... I'm mispreparing the show. The show we're recording now. You know those things, book my shot? Did you ever do that?
No.
Okay. So I went on book my shot, and it gave me that pharmacy, and it gave me the dates.
Oh.
And I just chose a time. And then they called me and said, we don't have the vaccine. Remember I told you the story? They called back and said, today's description, cheese, and we're the cheese balls meet the cheese master. How about that? I like that. Cheese balls.
I love cheesy humor. I love cheesy humor.
I know you
as
do.
You know.
The cheese balls meet the cheese master. Sharing your timeline, sharing your page. No, I and then they called me and said the vaccine wasn't available, and he said they were, the pharmacist told me, Pete's his name, that the book my shot mechanism was actually allowing people to book shots at their pharmacy even though there wasn't any vaccine available at the time. Anyway, then he called me back and said the vaccine was available. So, you should just call before you come down here.
Well, that's what I'm going to do before I come down. I'm just going to say that. I'm going to be in the area. Do you have any second dose AstraZeneca that you want to get rid of?
You know,
they extended the life of it, too. They said it was easy.
What is that? The more I hear that, the more I find that sort of funny that they can just like...
They perform CPR on the vials, right?
What does that even mean? Well, now the vaccine's fine. We've extended the life of it. It's like the best before date just got extended on the yogurt.
Right. But even that doesn't bug me. I'll take it.
Yeah, I know. Rachel was asking me last night about, you know, second dose from... If you had the AstraZeneca and you had a second dose from Pfizer or Moderna... Now they're saying it's okay, and I just said to her, "Don't take my word for it. I would call your doctor." But you had the AZO first time too, didn't you? Are you not going to talk into the microphone during this program today, or are you just like,
I said late? Yes?
No, I know you did, but you're. It's like, do you know we're recording, right?
Oh, right, I forgot you said that. Right.
Like, we've literally started the show about 3 minutes ago.
This is scintillating.
Well, it is. This is, you know what this is?
Yeah.
This is like Boone Show. This is a real talk, man. This is a real talk.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Get Sky, the Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palma Pasta, Safe Tech Security, NextHome.ca, DraftKings, Red Light Holland, City Parent, and our newest sponsor, Health Gauge, providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, we have a Patreon account. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble
Fred. Yeah, we haven't talked about the Patreon people, and don't think we don't appreciate you guys. Like, seriously, it's amazing. Patreon, go check it out at humbleandfredradio.com. Listen, man, as far as scintillating, what's more top of mind, topical, than vaccination chat? In fact, Fred, doesn't the government have an important message for us citizens of Ontario?
Yes, Howard, the government does.
Yeah.
Right off the top of the show, the government has this message. Listen intently.
Yeah.
Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians. Do your part. Get your shot. Visit Ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the government of Ontario.
I like a nice casual start to the show. You know, it used to be we had this big fanfare and there was like a big production. But you know what? It's time to get going. Let's do it. Come on, Phil. Look alive, brother. No. All right.
You know, and I don't know what to say. You know, I've been, you know, I am a critic, and I probably won't vote for him, but, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due. The Prime Minister again came out yesterday and said, yeah, I'm thinking about easing border restrictions, but it will be tied to some kind of a vaccine passport, proof of vaccination. And that's brilliant. I almost wouldn't expect that from him, but it's just so logical and the right thing to do, and puts it to those anti-vaxxers. I think it's great. It was great to hear.
That's 2 days in a row. You want to make out with Justin Trudeau? Yeah, you do.
You like Justin. You want to have him as your boyfriend.
Trudeau's back to this Johnny Depp look, eh?
Well,
the big mustache and the weird hair.
I did want to start off with the CN Tower. We can get to that in a minute or two, but I've been thinking quite deeply recently about the anti-vax movement as a concept. And again, as I've said a few times recently, like what has surprised you about this last 16 or 17 months? And I think for me, the enduring movement of people that are against the vaccine is just so bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. I have some audio I found of a woman in Ohio testifying. She's testifying in front of some kind of committee about, you know, how the vaccine is so unproven and, you know, and now she's talking about the 5G. I'm going to play the clip in a second, but she talked about how people who have been vaccinated are now magnetic. Did you hear this? Phil, did you hear about that?
I'm not surprised.
I was.
Well, I'm not surprised because anybody that buys into that's got to be a bit loopy. So,
well, funny you say that because in the I got this on Twitter this morning and all the comments were filled with people actually not being unkind, but kindly saying, are we at the point now where we should maybe treat these people like they're mentally ill? Like there's been something, some kind of diagnosable psychoses.
You know, our friend Dean Blundell, who has a website and has a podcast, a recurring guest on his show is the crazy Chris Sky, for whatever reason. I mean, when did we have Chris on? We had him.
Long time
months
ago.
Months and months ago, and you really don't get anywhere with him. But anyway, I thought I'll listen to a bit of it to get a feel of where he's at, and it's just exhausting. Like I can only listen to about 90 seconds, and the 90 seconds I heard, he's talking about AstraZeneca has been banned by Canada. Like he doesn't even have his facts right.
No.
And the guys are saying, well, it hasn't been banned, they just stopped using it for first doses, but it's around for but see, he's totally oblivious to the facts. So just listening, hearing his ignorant voice is just exhausting. So
does Dean.
I was gone.
I'm first of all, I'm glad that Dean's, you know, it's a great guest and he would have been a great guest on our show. When he's on with Dean, does he allow Dean to talk to him or does he do the same thing? Just sort of talks over him.
Not as bad as he was with us. I think he's learned along the way. That's probably not the best tact.
It was funny. It was funny when he did it with us, and then he goes on Twitter after and goes, "I crushed Tumble and Fred." Oh yeah, you two old men. You did good for you. Here's a woman in Ohio, an anti-vaccine expert, and experts in quotations. She literally just looks like everybody's mom. I mean, again, not unkind. She's certainly concerned. You know, I had a conversation with somebody recently that you and I both know very well. Very smart young man. And you know what he told me? He said, it's interesting from what he's seen, and he's a younger, you know, very young person. He had this interesting insight. He said, you know, from what I can tell, a lot of the anti-vax movement is being driven by moms and grandmoms. And I said, what do you mean? He said,
really?
Well, and it's interesting because he said, you know, you think about it, those are the people that are sort of the, you know, matriarchs of society, and they're more caring, and their motivation, and this was his thought. He said, I think their motivation is from caring. They genuinely are concerned for their children's and other people's health. I know you're making that face, but his point I thought was interesting because not every woman, but a lot of the people I see in the anti-vax movement are that. They're not evil. They're doing it out of concern, was his point. Do you know what I mean? It's misguided. Mm-hmm. But it comes from a place of concern. And when I saw this woman, I'm like, yeah, yeah, he's right. Here she is talking about we're all metallic now.
Or, and I think had been discussed on your podcast related to EMF.
So this is the counselor.
That was a thought.
And it was because we're all kind of hypothesizing. I mean, what is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it?
Yeah,
I'm sure you've
part.
Seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots, and now they're magnetized. They can put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them, and they can stick, because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers.
So there you go. And my favorite part of that is, you know, it's all, you've seen the pictures all over the internet. But if you saw a picture of her, you'd see that she's just, you know, sort of a mom. I know she seems crazy too, but she is just somebody
seems
out of
crazy.
just out of concern, you know.
So that's your typical concerned mom?
No, no, that's no, that's your typical concern.
Right.
Anti-vax mom.
Whack job.
And Phil, you should do a song called Anti-Vax Mom.
Maybe I told you this story. My nephew, Chris, made me piss my pants. He drove up to my dock there last week and he looks at him and he goes, "Have you got your microchip yet?"
That's great.
I started, and he's not an anti-vaxxer. He's gotten his, but that's just the way he put it. And I started laughing because I like humor.
I like humor too. You know, here's the thing. You know, we had the wave, we had the second wave, the third wave of the virus, and now we've got this, the vax, no vax clash. And there's a story, and I had meant to bring this up as a separate story, that companies now, mostly in America, but I'm sure it's going to happen here. Maybe it already has. Where companies are legislating that their employees get vaccinated and their employees are pushing back. And the story that I was going to bring up is it's a hospital in Texas. And they had on CNN last night, they had the director, the doctor that's in charge of the hospital. And they have these chains of hospitals, 25,000 employees, and 200 out of that 25,000 have refused to get vaccinated. Now, these employees are nurses and people that work in the healthcare industry. And as this guy, the head of the company, was saying, this doctor, listen, We're trying to give our patients the best care they can. And when you come to the hospital, by definition, you're in a compromised state. Mm-hmm. If our people aren't vaccinated, now we have a chance. Now we're going to give an opportunity to give the virus maybe to somebody who's already sick and compromised. But think about that, Patterson. May I call you by your last name? Mm-hmm. Think about that. It's a hospital, and they're saying you have to be vaccinated, and some of their employees were out picketing saying vaccines are unconstitutional, you know, and they're going to take it to the Supreme Court for their right not to be vaccinated. Now, tell me that's not a surprise to you.
No, it's not, because I bet you if you scratch below the surface, you drill down. There's some sort of a labor issue there. Because this is happening all over. It's happened in the city of Brampton. It's as soon as your employee gives you the directive, we want you vaccinated. You know, people push back because they think they're being told to do something by the man that they don't want to do. Now, how do you explain how some people think? That bugs the shit out. That bugs people to the point where, no, I'm not getting one if you're telling me to.
Yeah.
That's where we're at in a lot of situations. That's why that hospital, in particular, I'd like to know what the labor relations are like generally.
Well, it's not just one hospital. It's a chain of them. Excuse me.
Well, again, you know, a chain that probably has, you know, blanket company policy that a lot of people maybe aren't happy with.
Well, fine. But again, we're not talking about a manufacturing plant.
Right.
We're talking about a place where sick people go.
Yeah.
Like, if there's any place that... Even if you were, you know, and I got that whole thing. It's like the employees pushing back against the man. We've talked about this recently, 30 years ago, when they brought the flu lady in, the flu shot lady in to CFNY. We didn't take it. But we're not. But think about this situation. It's a hospital. And the other, by the way, the other, I wrote down a couple other industries that are going to be very affected by just what we're talking about. Of course, number one is travel. Travel, airplanes, cruise ships are now having trouble. And, you know, that idiot DeSantis talking about fining cruise companies. But there's a whole, we're all wanting to get back into our lives. But, you know, you and I want to travel next year. I don't want to be on a, I don't want to be in a situation where some of the people on that plane aren't vaccinated. I'm going to wear a mask anyway, so.
No, I agree. It's something you should do. And, you know, that may be the fourth wave.
Yeah.
Once we're through this, the fourth wave may be dealing with the people that refuse to get vaccinations. And will that end up in courts? And how long will it be drawn out? And how often will we be in situations going, geez, I'm not really sure that these people around me have been vaccinated. And the thing is, when you're fully vaccinated, it won't matter if they haven't had theirs. To me, it's just the tit for tat thing. Like, I did it to help out. Why wouldn't you?
Well, not only is it the tit for tat thing, if I'm vaccinated and you didn't get, you aren't right, because you didn't have to be. Well, what if we all thought that way? You know, the fact is, in Canada today, yesterday, there were 1,200 cases across the country. Where did the anti-vax people, why did they think that happened? It just magically disappeared?
Listen, Brampton and Peel is a hot spot. And I believe if I had it here. Peel was below 100 cases yesterday. Peel was a hotspot, so they really centered on giving vaccines here. And it's dramatic how the cases have dropped. I mean, there's a direct correlation between getting vaccinated and the cases going down.
But like, what you just said, it's not just tit for tat. It's not just I did it, so you have to. We did it. So there, you know, it's funny you said that. That's the next wave or the fourth wave. That's what I wrote down. I said the next wave in this sci-fi film will be the clash of the vax, no vax, not just people, but all these industries. Listen, man, these Americans, if it's a hospital and they are pushing back, their employees who deal with sick people, if they're pushing back against the vaccine, what chance does, you know, does an airline, does it, you know, I mean, that is, again, when I said, were you surprised? And you said, no, I'm almost being facetious. It's surprising to me that back in March of 2020, we couldn't have imagined this. You couldn't have imagined this was going to be a thing.
Also, I read something. Once you've hit, how do I put this? You know, several doctors have said, if you reach the 12-week point and you don't have something severe or some wacky, crazy reaction to this thing, you're clear. You're free and clear. Don't worry about 6 months, 9 months, a year from now. Yeah. They know enough about that now. There's nothing wrong with these vaccines. Yes, the odd person, but that applies to any vaccine. There's people that have adverse reactions to flu vaccines or vaccines they might need when they travel. I mean, as we sit, there are certain countries you can't go to without a vaccine.
Freddie, I've said that 1,000 times. You can't go to the Amazon without getting like malaria shots.
Yellow fever.
But it's already been determined, this whole mindset of, oh, what if 1 year, 2 years, 3 years from now, this comes back together? That's pretty much been discounted now.
I know. You know, and the irony, I had this thought last night, so I want to make sure I get it out right. The irony is, as long as there's no vax people, there will still be the virus around and even more need for the vaccine, which they won't get.
And they could give it to each other, right?
But that's the... I thought that was... that's an interesting observation because we're going to be inoculated and immune to it to some degree. They're the ones that are going to still be able to spread it with any reliability because they're the only ones left that can carry it. Now, the irony also is that because of the three of us are vaccinated, a fourth person probably won't get it even if they weren't vaccinated because there's not enough hosts around or whatever. Hey, Fred, the Sherpa is standing by. You're all good for a second, so I need to get I want to get something else done here before we do. Anyway, we can talk about the CN Tower as well. Shapiro is going to be with us, I think. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's either this week or next week. Of course, Todd is part of the Red Light Holland company producing magic mushrooms, magic truffles, I should say, in the Netherlands. Their iMicrodose packs are sold online at iMicrodose.nl. Here in this country, on this side of the border, the company has created a movement without making medical claims at iMicrodose.ca. Find out more about that. Be part of it. They're selling merch, and it's pretty cool stuff. And as I've mentioned before, they're a three-month partnership. It's been paid for. We have to say this because of the due diligence. Because Todd is not just, you know, that guy in the street who's funny now. He's the CEO of a market cap company with over $100 million, and it's a publicly traded company. This is why we have to say this. And they're on the CSE. If you're interested, always ask your advisor. Their ticker symbol is TRIP. And speaking of advisors, it's time for the nibs. Nibbly. Here he comes. Here comes the nibbles.
Nibbly, dibbly, do.
Nibbles. Nibbly, do. Well, as soon as we see him, I'm going to play his theme. As soon as he opens up his camera.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
Big, beautiful man. There he is. There he is.
Mm-hmm. Point that. Turn that mic just a little bit more directly towards you, man. There we go.
There you go. Aww. Beautiful. Look at that sweet angel. Hey, Tim Niblett, how are you?
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, and I've got day two of a four-day virtual conference going on. Pretty exciting times.
Day two of a four-day, like, advisors conference?
Yeah, for Raymond James, like in the good old days, we'd actually meet in hotels and that sort of thing. But
remember those days?
On our computer screen.
You know, we were just talking about, I'm not sure if you heard the idea of the fourth wave being the anti-vax clash. And every industry will, I guess, have to deal with this. Just as you said, like next year, if Raymond James or any other big company wants to host a conference, I wonder if that will be part of the criteria. Only people with vaccination proof can show up.
That'll be really interesting, right? Certainly the planes and trains and automobiles probably will, but hotels, I don't know if they'd go that far, or a business might have a hard time doing it that way, depending on the dynamics. But I'd feel a lot better going to places where I knew everybody was vaccinated as well.
Yes, it's going to be quite the ride into the next year, with that becoming the main issue of this whole horrible experience we've been through.
You're getting there, and I've been there for a while, thankfully. But when you've got your second shot, and then you're hanging around people who've had their second shot, and that, it's a much more relief filled situation.
I agree. Timmy, Freddie and I played. This is going to be a great tie-in, so just wait for it. We played in the Tanner Financial charity tournament on Monday with a lovely couple of people who, like yourself, have spent a good amount of time in Florida. Everyone in that foursome was either double shot vaxxed or, in Fred's case, singles. But all of us were, to your point, there's a certain comfort, I felt, being around people that have all been vaccinated. And I don't know, I haven't been around, I was going to say to you guys, it's been a while since I've been around somebody that's zero vaccination, other than maybe, a young person, but most people our age have had some kind of inoculation.
Yes.
And speaking of insurance, Tim, I didn't mean to stun you there. Silence is also a response. But speaking of insurance, because of course the Chambers plan is small business insurance, but it's important that, your financial advisor has part of the insurance strategy. Because why?
Well, I'll lead with the ending of my email to you guys. I mean, if you die prematurely and you're underinsured, how your portfolio did for the last month or year doesn't really matter of a lot, right?
Becomes less effective.
Yeah. So, in the early stages of life, you're buying it for income replacement, often tied in with a mortgage or whatever and all. Towards the end, it might be more for estate planning to help negate some of the taxes that you would pay upon death and get more to your beneficiaries and all. But it's different for everybody. Big surprise, right? So one of the ways you do it is, I was suggesting this to a couple the other day. Hey, like if A passes, how much money does B need, right? You got to go through the thought process and income replacement, paying the mortgage, whatever your goals are, maybe a kid's education, right? Depending on whether you have them in ages and just all the, all the factors you need money for.
The thing is about insurance, I mean, from personal experience, I had a 10-year term from 50 to 60, and it was quite affordable. I should have done a 20-year term at the time. But once you get to a certain age, I mean, the cost, the premiums are staggering. But it still is a good expenditure in some situations, even if it's expensive, right? Given the size of your estate and what the taxes may be. You know where I'm going with this.
Absolutely. I mean, the reason that it costs a lot is because you're getting older.
Right? That's right. That's right.
It's a whole statistical thing. It, actually, if you look at the IRI, the internal rate of return on an insurance policy, you don't usually think of it that way. But it's pretty darn good. And part of it is because a lot of people will get policies but then not see them through to completion, so to speak. So it is a pretty darn good investment if you follow through on it, which unfortunately means you're gonna have to pass away. But
yeah, that's right, inevitably. Well, it's interesting that you bring it up, because I remember early on, and you know, when we were starting a family and having talking about insurance, and the first conversations I ever had with was with a financial advisor, which you wouldn't think of right off the top. You think you'd speak to an insurance agent, but the idea is that if your financial advisor can see where insurance fits into your portfolio needs, because as you know, earlier you need more, later, as you say, you need less. You know, we had Shulman on yesterday, Dan Shulman, the play-by-play guy. Did you hear that he graduated with a degree in actuary studies? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot of smarts in there. But that's what they do. They predict when you're going to die, on average.
My bad industry joke, one of my faves, is that actuaries are people who didn't have enough personality to be an accountant.
I wish we could have said that to Shelly.
I know. I'll text him.
Yeah, text him. You know, you were saying the answer for how much insurance you need, and of course, as you get to retirement age, those needs are different. I should say things change. What are your sort of basic parameters for how much somebody should have?
It's ballpark 5 to 10 times of your annual salary. Now, if one person isn't making a salary, they're certainly making a contribution, right? Whatever would cost to replace their duties, so to speak, and all. We'll often hit a stage where, so first stage really income replacement, last estate planning as mentioned, and in between often we'll hit a place where we're self-insured, that later on 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, we've created enough in assets that we could really be okay if something unforeseen happened. But again, you really just got to go through that whole exercise, right? And of course, unfortunately, some people don't really care what's left for the ones behind them, but most of us do, and lots of people do. And you know, thankfully I haven't had to do it that many times, but when you deliver a side check to somebody who's already going through stress because their spouse has passed, it's a real nice, you know, feeling to be able to be the intermediary for all this safety and security and peace of mind for people.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole dimension of estate planning too with insurance. I know of a situation where four kids have gotten together and it's sizable, and they pay the life insurance on their parents so that when they die, that insurance will cover the taxes on the estate, which is rather sizable.
It's a fantastic strategy, Fred, and and it's not super common, but it definitely does occur. And back to that IRR, the internal rate of return, they're going to get a better return on that money than a lot of investments would have over that time frame.
Well, you know, Tim, you've spoken to one of my kids, Charlie, but I just can't imagine having that conversation with Spencer. Okay, Spencer, I'm going to need you to, Spenny, I'm going to need you to pony up for daddy's insurance. I just can't imagine the look in her face like, excuse me, old man, what? Old man says what? Tim.niblet@raymondjames.ca. He's the man with a plan. And when it comes to retirement, there's so many different aspects of it. And having a good conversation with this sweet bear is the way to go. Raymond James, of course, your company, fine group of folks doing the securities and all that. Sorry. I don't have it in front of me, Tim. What time does the convention get started virtually? And
it starts at 10:30, and actually the fine folks at Raymond James, I probably mentioned this before, but collectively we got over $1 trillion in assets under management for wow. people. So that's a pretty huge milestone, and a lot of faith and a lot of responsibility and a lot of great things going on. So it's pretty cool. Just on the COVID thing, I've got my Gator season's tickets again this year. Not quite sure if I feel good about going to see a game with 92,000 of my closest friends, though, mm-hmm. right? I might want to be seeing their vaccination passports at the gate.
Yeah. But let's talk about that. Are you fully vaxxed again? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I lost track. Tim, you're fully vaxxed. So what would the reservation be? What does it matter to you?
I don't know. You know, there's so much uncertainty still about this darn thing. And again, my 5G reception's been a lot better. So
yeah. What about exciting. The fork? Can you stick a fork to your head? Is it magnetic like Fred and I? Because that's what
you can do. Tell me you'll be able to send plays in.
That's right.
From the stands.
Mm-hmm. Although, that's good.
You know, but Tim, you make a good point, though, because there is still, listen, there's still uncertainty. You know, they're talking about, will we need a booster every year? How long is the efficacy? Like, it's experimental in some nature, in terms of the fact that this many people are all taking it, depending on the vaccine, we're all taking it at the same time. And who knows what the long-term efficacy of it will be, but to your point, we could still get sick. You could be around somebody who's got it and get some of the virus. You just won't get as sick, or it won't be as severe. I mean, we're basically inoculated against getting severely ill and dying.
It's just after all this time of all this information and a time of paranoia and fear and all, it's just hard to wrap my brain around being in a scenario like that. And you know, they play, they host Bama, which is huge, September 18th, their daughter's 40th birthday. And, you know, those post-touchdown celebrations, Fred, can get pretty intimate. So
I bet they can. I'd be more concerned about that.
I'm older than you guys. You know what my attitude is? I'm going for it because I don't want to get too dramatic. Time's running out. I don't want to waste another year of not doing stuff. I'm willing to take that chance if I'm fully vaccinated. That's the way.
No, I hear you, Timmy. So no Captain Pro Ladies Day today for you, or are you going to play later?
I'm off shift today. We get to play, but no big match. A couple weeks from now.
Looking forward to it when we get a chance to play. It's hard. I'm like nibble. It's hard to get. I'm booking September now, Howard. I'm booking September. thank you, my friend Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca. Go check him out for insurance and other Sherpa needs. You want to have the last word?
Sherpa. My pleasure. Enjoy and profit all. Great seeing you, Philly.
All right. That's Tim Niblett. He's a goddamn angel. Look at him.
Oh, isn't he, though?
Yeah,
isn't he, though?
Yeah. Bye, Timmy.
Up through September, because I was hoping to see him this summer.
Oh, no. I was just teasing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I know that you and I were talking about what we would like to do next winter the other day. We were having a conversation about, you know, how the show could continue while you and I were, you know, not cold for a couple months. Mm-hmm. But I'm the same, you know. I don't think it's dramatic. I just don't want to put myself in a situation where there's too many people around me that can give me this virus. I just don't, you know.
No, I get it. Oh, yeah, listen. Number one, if somebody gave me free tickets to a Leaf game, I'm not going because it would still cost me $100 in beer and food and parking. So screw that. And, you know, I really don't have an appetite to go to that type of event.
Yeah.
But as far as restaurants, airplanes, you know, smaller social gatherings, I'm all in. You know, maybe I'm talking ahead of myself here. If I had the opportunity to be at some great, you know, important game, what my mindset would be just before I went. But I think I'm going to be a bit of a gambler through this.
I'm just curious, though. Yeah. You know, you made a point, and I think it's a good one for guys our age to, you know, seize the day, carpe diem the shit out of your life, and make sure that every day is a gift, because it is, because we don't have that many days left. Mm-hmm. Not to be dramatic. But, right. You know, you had a chance to go see your favorite hockey team that's been your, let me finish, your favorite hockey team of all time. Mm-hmm. You can't spread your cheeks for $100. What are you hanging on for? You know, you only got, you know, if your attitude is every day, you know, you got to do your best and have a great time, let's spend a couple $100 and go see a hockey game. Oh,
yeah, that's a great time going to see that team.
No, but I'm just saying, aside, where does the money matter anymore? You got all the money you're ever going to need.
No, to me, it's principle. I'm telling you, I'm not spending a cent. You know, me and my buddy Darren would often travel to Florida, you know, our little golfing trips. And if the Leafs were down there, we'd go to the Leaf game, say in Tampa or in Sunrise, Florida. I wouldn't do that. I honestly would say part of that trip, I'm not spending a cent to go see that hockey team.
Okay.
It's just a stance that I've taken.
All right. Okay. All right. So it's not about the money. It's about the principle. So much. You see, what I read the story about the tower being lit up in the Montreal Canadiens colors, I thought it was amusing. And then I thought the next thought I had was, oh, no, Freddie thinks of that. You started the day by going, "What a bunch of pussies!"
I said, "What a pussy city." I'm sorry. Is that a term that should be used now?
Pussy city.
I don't know. I give up.
Where do you guys live? Pussy city.
I'm just self in pussy city.
Can you? Like, I don't even know where to begin. Are you kidding me? Red, white, and blue for the Montreal Canadiens because they're going to the semifinal in Toronto. Like, that is just so lame. It's sickening. Do you think for 1 second anywhere in Montreal would light something up blue and white for the Toronto Maple Leafs if the roles were reversed?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it wouldn't even be, it wouldn't cross anybody's mind there.
Well, what was the impetus? Did they lose a bet? Did Tory bet their guy, whoever their guy is?
Oh, it's this whole, you know, the last remaining Canadian.
Oh, the Canadians.
Which means nothing to me. It looks like they're going to play the Las Vegas Golden Knights in the next round. And I hope the Knights sweep them. And I'm not a Knights fan. But I just... Like, think about that. Here we are in Toronto, our arch rival in hockey. We're lighting up the tower in their honor. You just don't do that in sports.
I know.
You don't do that.
Uh-oh. What was that? Like, no, you're right. I know, buddy.
And that's a great question. Who came up with the idea and who endorsed it?
Yeah. I thought it was one of those things where if our team loses, we'll give you some ham and we'll light up the tower.
No, it was that bet was between Doug Ford and their premier, whoever that is. And Ford, did you not see the pictures of
Valerie
him?
Valerie Plante.
Okay.
What's that, Phil?
Whoever.
Valerie Plante.
Valerie Plante?
Isn't that terrible?
I couldn't tell you. Well, no, Bernard, who's the premier?
I think it was the premier.
Yeah, of Quebec. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what was the bet? I saw some picture. What was the payoff?
They had to wear the other one's sweater and have a picture taken, and Ford did it.
Yeah, that's what you do. But somebody somebody decided, I know what we'll do. We'll light up the CN Tower to honor the Montreal Canadiens.
it's just pathetic. It's
pretty funny.
It's dick to me. It's
pussy.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'll bet you the Leaf organization wasn't thrilled.
No.
Although most of them have left town. They don't care.
Oh, they don't care.
You know what I say, Fred?
They don't care.
If they don't care, why should we care?
That's right, Howie. That's right.
They don't care, they don't care. We'll light up the CN Tower, they don't care.
But I had to read that twice. I read it in passing, and I thought, no, this can't be. And then I read the story, and it's like, it's sports. Come on, you don't.
I know. It's ridiculous.
You know, this isn't like flying a flag at half mast because someone has died and like, I mean, come on. Anyway, so much of this has just sickened me.
I can see that.
The Leafs, the Habs winning now 7 games in a row, whatever it is. I try not to think about it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty gross is what it is. It's I don't even care. And I find it hilariously gross that the team that beat our team is one. Not only did they beat our team by winning 3 games in a row. Do you know what the odds are of coming back from a 3-1 series deficit in a 7-game series. It's ridiculous. And then to win 4 other straight in a row is just bizarre.
I know. And then we light up our tower in their honor.
Yeah.
Gee, it's funny. Like,
I'm like, surprised you didn't mention taxpayers, Fred, because the CN Tower is owned by us. It's a it's a government agency.
That is a great question. Like, let's get that person on the show. Who's like, hey, here's a good idea.
Yeah, what committee? That's a committee decision. I know what we'll do. We'll show solidarity. Here's a better question. I ask it again for the second day in a row. Why were you? Why was your feed better in Cambodia than it is in your basement in Woodbridge?
Yeah.
Like, even when you're speaking just now, it's like not as clear. Just what happened?
I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
He doesn't know what happened.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for helping us out with that bit.
That fan behind you, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at his hair waving.
Is there a delay? He can't hear us because there seems to be a delay.
A photo shoot.
No, it's...
Well, it's hot as hell upstairs.
I know, Phil, it's fine.
And I'm relying on a piece of Chinese box in order to get the Wi-Fi up here. That's why.
Phyllis, it's fine. Put the fan back on you. We were just asking.
I saw your hair sort of flapping in the wind.
Yeah, and it was very...
Because it looked like a sexy photo shoot.
It was very erotic. It's like
the sweat dripping down my face instead.
No, I know. But Phil, it was very erotic, your whole kind of hair blowing around. Oh, yeah. So put the fan back on you. Go ahead.
It's fine, Phil.
Yeah, go ahead. Why do we have these moments? Both of your friends, Howard and Fred, are telling you it's okay. Put the fan back on you. It's fine.
Yes, master.
I give up. Sometimes, you know, it's too much work. It really is. Like me. How about your family, Phil? Is mom and Jose all vaccined up?
Yeah, they both have first shots.
Okay, first shots.
They're going to have second shots scheduled at some point. And then Liz and Jen are getting their shots on the weekend. And as soon as I have a negative test result, I'm going to book my first shot. And I'm going to try to couple it with my mother's second shot so she feels more comfortable going outside.
And now your voice sounds like you're talking through like a tin can or something.
For the love of...
Yeah, it sounds... honestly, the audio and the video in Cambodia was better than what we're hearing now.
That's very interesting because you've done the show from your house before and it sounded a lot better than this.
Yeah, the audio.
So you were in Cambodia, did your mother go and get like the cheaper internet for the house or something?
I'm assuming it's because
there
of the
you
cheap
go.
Wi-Fi extender box no, downstairs.
No, now you sound better.
We can't afford proper internet at my salary.
What did you just do to...
Oh, there's a shot at Umel and Fred.
I'm talking into a closet in a bedroom. I don't know what else.
What did you just do to your audio that made it sound better, though? You sound so much better.
I just plugged it back in.
Oh, so you weren't talking into your microphone before?
No, I was talking to my microphone. It was just something must have phased it. That's all.
All right. Well, very good. Thank you for your time.
Okay, let me tell you about something, okay?
Okay, I'm about to tell you about something.
Okay, you tell me
about... What are you going to tell me about?
I was going to tell you about the Chambers plan.
Can you do that? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you about this after you do that.
The Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Okay, 30,000 Canadian businesses are part of this. They've been around for 40 years. It's exactly what you need if you have a small business and you've thought of a benefits package, which is really, really cool because you go to chamberplan.ca, you click on get a free quote, and you'll find out that this is affordable. You know, there's different levels, there's different programs. They'll find something for you. Definitely prescriptions and dental insurance, travel insurance, all sorts of therapies, depending on the level that you buy into. Really fantastic. The best doctors program, the Teladoc system. Again, it's very simple to sign up. It's stable. Again, it's been around for, as we say, 40 years, 30,000 Canadian businesses. It's rock solid. They've held the line on premiums because of the size of this thing. Smart thing to do for your employees. I mean, let's get her done, chamberplan.ca.
Yeah, we actually hooked up someone that we're working with our insurance guy at the Chamber Plan, Roddy J. And it's all working out nicely from what I've seen on the, you know, the emails. You know, you get copied on emails. And so another very happy customer. You know, every day more and more people across this great land, Ontario, are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Phil's going to take his mom. She's going to get her second shot. Phil will get his first shot. It's going to be fantastic. Health Canada approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. Every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians. Do your part and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/book-a-vaccine. Paid for by the Government of Ontario. Afram Pristine is coming up from the Cheese Boutique, a longtime friend of the show, a guy that I've known since I moved to Toronto. His family has had a shop on, first on Bloor Street, that's sort of near where I first lived here in the city, and then now just a little bit west and south of that, sort of South Kingsway and the Queensway area of Toronto. And people come from all over the city. You've been there, I've been there. I go there quite a bit, and he's going to come on. He's a, talk about an entrepreneur. You know, he's been around this business for a long time, and he's created a persona. He's got a book, and now a show on the Food Network. We're going to talk to him about that, and you know, we're going to talk about cheese.
Uh-huh. He's our Gigs Guy guest of the day.
He will be our Gigs Guy. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But I thought in anticipation, I would, because I know you love cheesy jokes.
Oh, yes. Great. Let him fly, brother. Let him fly.
These are all the best cheesy dad jokes.
Oh, love them.
Here's dads. Dads say, I'm afraid of the calendar. I'm afraid for the calendar. Why is that, Dad? The days, its days are numbered. I'm terrible at joking. Singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it's a soap opera. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? They're both Paris sites. How do you follow Will Smith in the snow? You follow the Fresh Prince.
Oh nice. Yeah. They're good.
I don't know why I've got two people in the waiting room. I've got Afram Pristine. And,
Mike was talking about someone who's a fan of having Afram on. And so
I read that in the email.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't see that part. Someone wants to come on and talk to Afram?
Yes, Howard, yes. So this person is so excited that Afram's on the show that Mike thought that person might, you know, check in as well.
Okay. That's all fantastic and news to me, but Afram Pristine is here. I've just spent the last couple of minutes talking about what an angel he is.
Mm-hmm. Hi, guys.
Hi, pal. You know, Afram, for years, your mom and dad had the Cheese Boutique on Bloor Street. That's how I first met them, and you were just a baby at the time. I remember you just looked tiny little baby, and now you're all grown up. Where did Lindsay go? I just told her to stand by, and she's gone. Anyway, we have somebody who's so excited that you're on our show that she wants to... check in.
And really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay.
Well, but listen, you know, in the old days we'd give you a big formal introduction, but this is new. This is new stuff. We just say, hey, Afram's here. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm really excited to have you on to talk about this because I feel like you and I in person have been talking about this now for some time. This new show that you've got, it's called Cheese, A Love Story, and we're going to get to it. But first, for people who don't really understand the legacy of your family, who you are, I didn't realize that you're the world's youngest maître fromager, which is, what is that exactly?
A cheese master, Howard.
Cheese master.
I'm like, look at it this way, I'm like a Jedi for cheese.
And what do you have? Do you have to go to cheese school for that?
Yeah. It's called the School of Hard Knocks.
Is that a designation? Is it like being a sommelier?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like it was given by the French government. You know how crazy the French are about cheese. I mean that in the best way possible, of course. And this is something I got. I was 33, so 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and I'm proud of it, and it's a big honor. It's a big duty for me, and it's. It essentially, it kind of encapsulates my whole career and kind of what I've done. And I'm proud of it, Howard. I'm proud of it. And I know my family's proud of it, too. And I love cheese. I love cheese. You know that.
Well, you should be. You know, Howard and I, over the years in this industry, in our positions, get to do a lot of things. We have a lot of experiences and a lot we forget. But I'll tell you one thing I've never forgotten is the day you took me in the back there and showed me all those cheese wheels. I mean, it's fascinating. It really is.
Cheese is intriguing, right? Like, it's such an interesting food because it's intriguing. People don't know a lot about it other than they love it. Right? Like everybody loves it. I you know, cheese on pizza, cheese on burgers, cheese on pasta. Like everybody loves cheese. And I think once they kind of get into that field and or once they enter the cheese world will just grab you and take you for like the best, tastiest ride of your life.
You know, I was going to say something similar, Fred, although, you know, I've been in that whatever that room you have where all the age
the cheese cave.
But I was going to say that my favorite cheese boutique experience is one time Ephraim invited me to have lunch there, and we set up stairs and you presented some of the food, because the cheese boutique isn't just about cheese. I was saying to Freddie, you know, like I've been going there a lot the last year, especially because my lady Rachel loves the place. But that day that we ate there, the food, the bread, the aged meats, the cheese that goes with it, the olives, the peppers, it's just something, you know. The thing is, I can spend all day in there, except it's filled with people all the time. It's been very... I one of the first places I went in the pandemic was to the cheese boutique. I called you about a weekend because you were offering curbside.
Yeah, I remember.
So let's talk a little bit about how the last 15, 16 months has been for that place, because it wasn't easy in the early days.
Oh, well, Howard, I mean, no business, let alone the cheese boutique, has had to run our business through a pandemic. This was new to us. This was new to everybody. I mean, we didn't know what to do. You wear masks. You don't wear masks. Like, well, I don't know what's going on here. And right away, I mean, we made a conscious decision to, you know, we're always about food and service, okay, for 51 years now. But at the beginning of the pandemic, we said, okay, we need to be responsible. And, you know, we had two people manning the door. We had sanitizing, you know, the sanitizing machines, the masks ready to go, social distancing. Right away, we had to pivot into running our business in a responsible manner. So the staff feels safe. So I feel safe. And most importantly, the customers feel safe. So we started doing curbside pickups. We started delivering direct to people's homes. Like we were doing orders day of. It was bananas. It was absolutely bananas. However, I've learned a lot, and I learned that a dollar now is worth a heck of a lot more than a dollar was 3 years ago. And the loyalty and respect that we've had from our customers in the last 18 months or 15 months, whatever the case may be, has really been amazing and has really been eye-opening. And we feel even more part of the community where, you know, like yourself, Howard, people were only coming to shop here because they liked it, they enjoyed the products, and I think they felt safe and they felt responsible, which is really how we started running our business. And it was hard. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never worked harder in my career, my brother, my family, my staff and I. But, you know, we actually felt that we were doing a duty. I mean, it was our job. People have to eat, right? Like people needed to eat, and nobody knew what was happening. And it was a little crazy, but honestly, I mean – we're kind of, you know, that those days are behind us a little bit, I hope. And, but it was difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, to pivot, to evolve was, No one ever had to do that.
No, I was going to say, having seen you through a bunch of the years prior, knowing you a bit personally, and usually I'll come in there and you and I'll talk for a few minutes, but I've seen you over the last year and a few months, and just recently, it's almost like things are starting to go back to normal in there, because for a long time I'd see you in Wave, but you're just too busy. The place was just... You know, it was run so well, and especially through these difficult times. But one of the conversations we've been having is about this. You keep saying, hey, Howard, I'm going to be on this show, and it's on the Food Network. And I was kind of like, that's cool. But then I wasn't, not that I didn't believe you, but I didn't realize the scope of it. So how in all of this pandemic pivoting, as you say, how are you shooting a huge Food Network Canada show?
That's a great question. So the Food Network approached me. So, I mean, I just go back a little bit. I love the Food Network. Like, I've been growing. Like, if you're in the food business, that was what you watched. I mean, all the amazing chefs and the recipes and the cooking class shows and all of that. Like, I grew up loving the Food Network. And then they approached me a few years ago. And I had done some, like, spot. You know, guest appearances on this show and that show, nothing kind of major, but you know, 3 minutes here, 4 minutes there, whatever the case may be. And they approached me a few years, 2 years ago, I want to say, about this cheese documentary that they wanted to do. And the Food Network had not done many documentaries. To be honest, I think they had done one or two prior. That's it. And this is kind of the first of its kind. It's the first, like, ever cheese focused travel show. And they approached me about it, and I said, yeah, let's do it. Like, for sure, let's do it. And then the pandemic hit, and, you know, it was kind of a little difficult. But we're lucky that – so we shot 6 episodes, 1 hour each. It's just a fun, like, you know, organic, like, real travel show. Cheese is obviously the vehicle – to get me to these wonderful places. And we shot a lot of the show pre-pandemic, and we kind of got lucky. So we shot a lot last January and February before kind of the world went sideways and before people knew what was going on. So I was very lucky. Like, the timing kind of worked out. And then, you know, we shot locally as well. So we shot 3 episodes abroad, overseas in Europe. And then we shot 3 episodes locally. I mean, Ontario, Quebec, and British Columbia, which were unbelievable. And it was an amazing experience. Like, really, one of the hardest things, but like in a positive way. It was just new. Right. It was new to me. I'd never shot a documentary, but it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, TV isn't easy. It can be tedious. Tedious, yeah. As you know. It's interesting, you know, you say cheese focused, and people might be thinking, wow, 6 episodes on cheese. Did you at all see any of Stanley Tucci's Discovering Italy thing or whatever on CNN? Yep. To me, the most interesting segments were the cheese segments, especially when you learn, like, you know, certain cheese comes from different elevations from the from the mountains and the different type of cows and everything. It really is fascinating.
So, and this is the thing. So if I were to, like, give it a percentage of, you know, out of 100%, I would say, you know, 60% is about cheese, 20% is about food, 20% is about where we are.
Right.
Give or take. Okay. Because look, cheese gets me to Athens. Okay. And, you know, it gets me there, but, you know, in Greece, I mean, every dish has cheese. Isn't it the history, the traditions? Like, some of these recipes are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. It's about history. It's a very anthropological look on cheese and the people who make it. And I think that's what's kind of really cool, Fred. I mean, if you dug Stanley Tucci's show, which I did, I love Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
This is it's different because
you're not Stanley Tucci. You're Afram Pristine. Stanley can suck it compared to your cheese knowledge. No.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Afram, we're going to have to do it. Afram. I need you to sign out and come back in, because your reception wherever you are isn't very good, buddy. We're having trouble kind of hearing every other word.
Okay.
I know you're on your phone. Is there any way we could get you to come back in on a computer? Because I promise you, you'll look fine. But when you look back on this, it'll be like, oh, there was some stuttering there because of the connection.
Okay. Yes. Can I have 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm. No, I want you to go away, come back in 2 minutes, and we'll talk about your documentary. Thanks, man.
Coming up.
Because I could tell he wasn't really here. He was hearing every third word there. No, I meant, where's he going?
He's going to.
I'm going to get my computer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you can just sign out of this and then sign back in after.
Yeah. Okay, I'm doing it now.
Okay.
If he's using the same connection in the same place.
No, but the phone isn't. The phone isn't capturing it. I find mostly when I do Zoom calls with people on their phones, it's Phil. Why is it? It never quite works out. It never quite is as sharp.
It's sometimes a weaker antenna and weaker interior. So, a phone is not as powerful as a computer.
Like, it was going okay there about 10 minutes ago. I was going to have him do it. But at the end, just now, I could tell he wasn't really.
Yes, it was degenerating.
Cheese, a Love Story airs Wednesdays at 8 on the Food Network. You know, that Stanley Tucci documentary, I watched the first few episodes. You know, he's such a. And then I was going to say, Rachel and I went back and watched that movie that he did with Tony Shalhoub called Big Night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just you get to see Tucci's love for food is, you know, sort of in this character he plays. Mm-hmm. But Afram is that type of guy. You know, were talking.
I'm looking forward to seeing this.
It'll be neat because there's, like I say, he travels to Greece, Switzerland and France, and then here in Canada, Ontario, Quebec, and BC. You know, you were asking him about, you know, you were talking about how different elevations affect the growing of the grass and all that stuff. But cheese is a bit science as well, which I think is intriguing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a science and there's an art to it. And if all I can tell you, if you're in the city of Toronto and you've ever, here he comes back. If you've ever, you've heard of the Cheese Boutique, but really it's one of those places where you got to go into it to really appreciate what this pristine family has done. I mean, Afram's parents, I met Afram's mom and dad when I first moved. That's my boy. There you are. Hi, buddy.
How do I look? I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's just that I was just saying to the guys, anytime we've had somebody on their phone, it never quite connects the same way. I was just talking about when we first moved here, ex-wife Randy and I, you know, she's the one that, you know, brought me into your parents' place on Bloor for the first time. But the Cheese Boutique, the way it is now, I'm sure your mom and dad have got to be so proud of you and your family and your brothers. But even in the time that even since you've opened up here, that store, that feel has expanded. The other day I was driving out of there going home and I said to Rachel, what's going on with the Cheese Boutique food truck? You've got so many things going on that street. It's like a Cheese Boutique carnival.
But that's kind of the growth of what we want to do, Howard, is, you know, we want, you know, we've been asked to come downtown and the West and the Hamilton and this, and it's like, we're West End boys. Like my brothers and I, we grew up in the West End. I was born at St. Joe's, and we see a lot of potential and growth on Ripley Avenue. So our heart is on Ripley Avenue. Our heart is in the West End of Toronto, and our business side of it is we see potential and growth here. And we got the food truck going every weekend with a different restaurant, like pop up and pandemic, like talk about pandemic, but you know, we're inviting any restaurant to come. They keep all the sales. Like, it's just helping the community, and that's kind of who we are as well. We have the food truck booked till November. We just opened up our bakery across the street from there, 2,000 square foot bakery, gelato coffee bar. And it's funny. I mean, 51 years later, that the name Cheese Boutique isn't quite synonymous with who we are anymore. I mean, we're more than that.
Well, I was telling
we
Fred,
have 16,000 ingredients from all over the world, and it's a special place.
Dude, I was telling Fred, you know, like you walk into the Cheese Boutique now and it's this whole other experience, including, you know, aged meats and sausages and all these things. Like when your parents visit from time to time now, like it just must blow them away how it's expanded.
Oh yeah. I mean, my parents will come in. I mean, not, with pandemic, not as much as they used to, obviously, but they don't recognize the place anymore, you know, but look, the way I look at it is my dad handed my brother and I the keys to a Ferrari. And he said, just drive it safe.
Yeah, that's right.
But drive it fast as well. And that's kind of what we're doing is just, you know, our pedigree is kind of deep and rich with my father's history and legacy. And it's now growing and evolving in a way that makes sense. You know, that's kind of the plan. And I think he's proud. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he'd say that to my face or
not. Yeah, he would.
But I'm pretty sure he's proud.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like more than ever, this is a destination now. And I got a note from a longtime supporter of the show, a man named Fred Ball. The king of the cheesy joke. Okay.
Oh, yeah?
King. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he says once a month, him and his wife drive down from Wasega directly to the cheese boutique because they love it so much. Just an example.
But Fred, that means like the world to us. Like mm-hmm. people don't realize that, you know, my family and my staff take pride in being a very small part of people's lives. And, you know, I saw that very much during the pandemic.
Yeah.
When you can only be with three other people, and that's immediate family, but you're having Cheese Boutique food for dinner, that's a big part of your life.
Absolutely.
And we love that. And we honestly, that's how we get our kicks, frankly.
I got to be honest with you. Like, I've always, as you know, I've been coming to your shop for a long time, but I actually introduced it to Rachel, who you've met. And now I've gone more in the last 15 months than I ever did before, because I'll be honest with you, you know, we're not going out as much, you know, and you sort of treat yourself because, you know, there's items at the Cheese Boutique you can't get anywhere else, but there's some, you know, more expensive items. And we've said to ourselves, listen, if we're going to have a steak, we'll get it there because we know it's perfect and dry aged and well worth it, because we're not going out for dinner as much. And, you know, maybe we'll get that more expensive burrata. And you know what I mean? Like, I think that was, and so I'm not surprised Fred Ball, who was not only is he a cheesy joke teller, but he's also a very discerning guy, why he would, you know, spend the money to go to your shop.
And another thing, Howard, you love to cook, right? Like,
nah, I'm okay.
You love to cook. Well, maybe not you, but
no, I do.
You guys love to cook and you want those kind of ingredients. That's kind of what Cheese Boutique has become as well, is like come with a recipe of whomever cookbook you have at home or whatever, and come get every ingredient. That's really what we want. I mean, I love that. I mean, come get your cheese, produce, meat, vegetables, bread, whatever, coffee, jam, tea, jelly, all that stuff, right? That's kind of what we want to do right now, is just expand our offering constantly.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you're a fan of cheese, a love story. Freddie, you wanted to just jump in there before we say goodbye?
No. I was just going to say it's a destination, a great place to go, and it's a cut above. So people know what they're getting.
Today's the day. And it's been a long time coming. You and I have been talking about this show, Afram, for a long time. And tonight's the night we get to watch it, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the Food Network, June 9th. It's a 6-part. It's also, the series also available to stream live and on demand via the Global TV app and the Stacked TV channel, available on Amazon Prime Video. This little thing we did, that was great, man. I hope you appreciate it. We do. We love having you on the show.
Thank you. I love it. Well, you know, when I was kind of, you know, I've done a bunch of media and press, and I said, I need to go see, you know, Uncle Fred and Uncle.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you didn't say Grandpa. You know, I'm not that much older than you.
Afram, I look at you as a very sharp cheese.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you. Sharp, salty,
yeah.
Little tangy, maybe. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Listen, man.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Hey, Afram, okay, I'm going to follow up with you later because I've got an idea for you. Okay, young man? It. All right.
He's an ideas man, Afram.
Got something to tell you. Listen, Afram, Pristine, so happy for you. Mazel tov, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. See you.
There we go.
Hey, pal. You know,
do you know why I'm playing this song?
Is it Steely Dan?
No. Bye, Afram. Just let yourself up. Because it's black cow, and cows make cheese, Fred.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I should have known that connection.
And because it's Steely Dan, obviously.
And speaking of Fred Ball. And his cheese jokes, one of the very first he used on me was, "Nice shirt. Does it come in men's?"
I love that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like it.
He still uses it. He throws that around in Wasega, right, where they're 15 years behind.
Here's a dad joke. I thought the dryer was shrinking my clothes. Turns out it was the refrigerator all along. Hey, Fred, what did the ocean say to the beach? Nothing. It just waved.
Oh, beauty. Oh, cheese, cheese, cheese.
Hey, Freddie, that was our Gig Sky guest of the week. Of the day, I mean. Gig Sky guest of the day. And what do you say about a fine company like Gig Sky?
Well, if you're looking forward to, the end of this pandemic and getting out and traveling, I mean, everybody feels that way. Gig Sky, they have the solution for you. The Gig Sky app provides worldwide mobile data coverage in over 190 countries with newly updated prices, including a data plan for Canada. It's the easiest, most affordable, and convenient way to stay connected internationally. Whether you're pulling up directions, looking for the coolest restaurant or bar, or sharing your post-COVID pics on Instagram, you'll want access to data when traveling. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Download the Gig Sky app today and enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsky.com for more information.
You know, when I was a kid, one of my favorite, I was a very picky eater, but one of my favorite sandwiches was a cheese and tomato sandwich, toasted cheese and tomato. I would come home at noon and my mommy would give it to me, and then I would watch the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mentioned my mom would have been 94 yesterday.
June.
So I sent a little message out to my kids who loved my mother so much. June will be 8 on June the 8th, just to see how they'd respond. And my daughter Melanie responded by taking a picture. She made a couple of cheese slice and lettuce sandwiches on white bread.
Aww.
With those, you know, those marshmallow cookies you used to smash, and then, you know, marshmallow with chocolate on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was her response, because Delise would never give our kids cheese slices because of the one molecule away from plastic. So my mom, to treat them, would always give them cheese slices, which they liked, on white bread. Another thing we never had in the house.
Of course not.
So that was her response.
You know, Charlie and I went to France together. I think it was the summer of 2018 when she went there and I joined her for a few days. And we were in this little town. You know, they've got coliseums all over, you know, southern France and Italy, and I know, mm-hmm. but we were near this little coliseum, and we had lunch, and the lunch was just simple. It was just that burrata cheese, that soft, gooey cheese, and sliced tomatoes with basil, salt and pepper, and some greens, and I just fell in love with that. I know it's simple, but I loved it, and they give you the beautiful bread to eat with it. And that's what, you know, Rachel made it for a dinner on Saturday night. It's one of my favorite things to eat, just that bread and the cheese and the tomatoes. Oh,
so simple. It reminds me a day we were in Tuscany and we rented this old farmhouse for a couple of nights, and just going out and getting a baguette and, you know, some sliced meats and the beautiful cheeses and the local wine and just sitting by the pool. In this place, we would wake up in the morning to the smell of croissants being made in the kitchen. And you know, situations like that, you wonder how much of it is what you're actually eating and how much is it where you are, or the combination, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, it's wild.
There was another time on the same trip, you know, that I don't normally eat a lot of bread during the week, but we had this bread every day for breakfast. But to your point, it was in a little cafe right on the edge of the dock, and we would watch the guys bring in their fresh catch, and people would come and buy it right from them, and you're eating this beautiful bread with cheese in the morning. You know, speaking of Italy, our buddy Tim Daniels, who we check in with from healthgage.com, he lives in Florence, Italy. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that gets tiresome. It's like, oh, just another day in Italy with great food and, you know, wonderful lifestyle. probably why he's so healthy. When it comes to keeping track of your health, many people are already wearing wearable devices or using them or special apps to monitor, but not all of them are created the same. Health Gauge is a monitoring system that hopes to make overburdened healthcare systems more efficient and cost-effective. You can measure things like blood pressure, oxygen saturation, heart rate, pulse wave velocity, which I don't really understand, activity level, calories burned. And the greatest thing is you get to see, like, you know, the day I got vaccinated, I could tell my temperature was rising. I felt a little flush. I just looked down at my phone like, oh, yeah, there I am. I'm a little elevated. Check out your blood pressure. I love the fact that you can count your steps, and you can get yours at healthgauge.com. How's yours working out?
Fantastic. I wore it yesterday. It's charging again, and, you know, close to 9,000 steps on the golf course. And yeah. After the round, my heart rate was at about 67, which I thought was pretty cool.
Very good for a man of your age.
Lots of oxygen in my blood, Howard.
Excellent. The goal of Health Gauge is to provide digital solutions to improve health outcomes while reducing... I'll just try this whole sentence again.
Reducing...
Digital solutions to improve. Look at Dan Duran, the producer. He's like, oh, maybe if you read it over once or twice, you
could. Just imagine. Do a little exercise or something.
We're talking about a man of impeccable delivery,
huh? Oh, I know. I know.
Try this. The lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue, the lips, the teeth.
The goal of Health Gauge is providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes while reducing costs on overburdened healthcare infrastructure. HealthGauge.com. HealthGauge.com.
When you were talking about, you know, being in a cafe, and that song came to mind. In a little cafe, just the other side of the border. Remember that song?
No.
You don't? That came to mind.
What? Whose song is it?
You know, this show is so awful.
What's the chorus?
In a little cafe.
That's the chorus?
The other side of the... I can't
remember. Jan the Americans, come a little bit closer.
Okay.
That's what it's called?
Anyway. Is that it, eh, Phil? Okay.
Yep. In a little cafe, just the other side of the border, she was sitting there giving me...
Here it comes. Here's Jay and the Americans. Boom, 97.3.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border.
Now you remember this.
I don't, actually.
where were you?
I'm Moose Jaw.
This show is great for that. So much of what we say reminds us of songs.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say so much of what we say, we don't really know.
what we're about to say.
No idea. It happened like seven times yesterday. Anyway, it was that guy from the thing. Phil, look it up. No, I do. I do remember this now. I do. Yes. All right. Well, we have obviously it's time for you know what, and we'll get to that as soon as I change screens. Oh, if you only had a mouse.
See, I got one. I'm in your head now, right?
Oh yeah.
So now I.
I hear this phrase a lot. Dan's living rent-free inside my brain.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now live from Picky Pants, the Picky Pants Studios in downtown Chemung. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our pleasure to present the Dan Duran News brought to you by the anchorman, Dan Duran.
Today is National Earl Day, so to celebrate, acknowledge an Earl. Earl Veal, you're the Earl I know. Earls, anyone?
I think Earl is, these are the Earls I know. I know. These are the Earls I know. I only know one Earl, Earl Veal.
Oh, yeah.
Delise has a cousin named Earl. Mm. He's a nice fellow. Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of famous Earls.
Well, about Earl Jive, we know as well.
All right.
Oh, right.
Earl Jive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Earl Flats and Scruggs were the ones that did the weren't they the ones that did the Beverly Hillbillies theme? Here's another thing we don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe they are. That was Earl, whatever. That's the only Earl.
Now for your conspiracies in the news update.
Yes.
We're being magnetized.
Yes.
Among anti-vaxxers, there's a concern that various businesses and organizations are going to require proof of vax for employment to or entrance. So laws are being enacted, like Florida, that has cruise companies all upset because they want a fully vaccinated ship before departing, but they're not allowed to check people as they depart the lovely Floridian coast. So on Tuesday, in the final stages of a new Ohio law, a nut bar that's going to ban, you know, checking for vaccinations. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, which is what her opinions are worth, by the way. Tenpenny, who has been ID'd as one of the top 10 claptrap super spreaders and a discredited osteopathic physician, told the Ohio legislator and legislators this.
But I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots and now they're magnetized. They can put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them and they can stick. Because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers.
Mm. Well, that
covers a lot.
Two things there, Dan. Just so you know, we played that clip at the beginning of the show, but that's still that's fine.
Okay,
we had a discussion about it, and secondly, that sounds like somebody you know.
it was really worth a revisit, though, because
absolutely.
And did you say that woman's a doctor?
Yeah, she's an osteopath.
Can you imagine if that's your doctor, and then you hear that, and you think this person's been touching me, like, or counseling me? Scary shit, man.
Isn't that great, though, that she thinks that you can, you know, there's what my favorite part of that sentence, Dan, as I said to Fred, was she says, have you seen the pictures? They're all over the internet. Yeah, well, yesterday I saw a fucking llama that was friends with a rhino. So what?
Yeah, that's proof.
Although if that stick of fork stick into your forehead, my grandkids would love that. I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm. You should.
My favorite part of that. Is the yet to be defined interface.
Yes,
yeah. Yet to be defined interface. Because we just suspect this. We haven't defined it yet. We can't prove it, but we think it's there.
Yeah, we had a discussion about how these. It's they're in a real like this is the fourth wave. The next wave of this pandemic is going to be the battle. In this crazy sci-fi movie, the battle between the vax, non-vax people. It really is. It's going to be the thing that no one could have imagined last March 2020 that we'd be having these discussions.
Dan. No, it's a... My life has been, as you said, I know someone that has gone down this road.
Crazy.
And it's so frustrating because you can't... You can't nail them down. You can't really say, okay, well, you know, what is it specifically? And then you get, it just goes, it cascades down. There's always an excuse. There's always something yet to be defined.
Yeah.
But we know for sure that there's something going on here. It drives me nuts.
No, I bet.
Well, you can't reason with that.
No, there's no reasoning because they've already bought into it so deeply that it's...
That's right. Logic isn't part of the picture, so how do you reason?
Well, it's like my brother said, you know, once you sort of come out as an anti-vaxxer or you're part of this, the rabbit hole of it all, then you have to defend it because you're defending your self-identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, of course this has to be right. I've invested so much in it. And those people have to know they're alienating... The family and friends around them, but their excuse is they're woke. They've been given the golden ticket, and they know better than we do.
And again, I'm such a spiteful prick. I so want that. I keep saying it on the show. Maybe if you say it enough, it'll happen. The vaccine passports. I just pray that they happen. It'll be the greatest thing, and I mean strict.
No, are you going to pray to which god, by the way? Any of the gods? Or the sky muffin?
I'm going to use my god roulette,
And whatever one comes up, I will pray to that one.
Why don't you?
There's about 15,000 on it.
My God, yeah, like one of the exhibition.
Yeah, that's the god that I will.
It's Junta.
Yeah. Well, spin the god wheel.
I'm with you, man. Like I think that. You know, I said to Rachel, who I speaks here quite often, I said, you know, I think that people should take out an ad in newspapers if they still have them and say, dear anti-vaxxers, you're fucking welcome. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Because those case counts have come down, not because it's fantasy. It's because we're all vaccinated. You're welcome.
Right.
And if you wanted to add a personal touch, sucking on it at the end.
Yeah, sucking on it. All night long.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, really, at this point, do you have to? Do you have to? You know,
such a man of detail.
You know, I mean, if you say sucking on it, all night long is inferred.
Okay, you're right.
It's part of the disclaimer.
It's part of the disclaimer. Sucking on it, asterisk, go to the bottom, all night long, see all night long. Also, all night long. No,
I can't wait to see the layout of that.
That ad?
You guys should really do that ad. I think you should.
Dear anti-vaxxers, you're welcome. And then in brackets, sucking on it. Then down here all night.
Could this be a half page or a quarter page? Or would it be like a little column thing? Or
no, I know, Dan. And listen, I don't want to get too detailed. But yeah, I mean, you're, you know, you have a person that you know and probably one of the few people that I know. I mean, Randy, ex-wife Randy, has a friend who was sort of on the same path, but finally relented. But yeah, it's difficult because, as you say, there's no arguing. You can't do logic with them because it's like trying to talk somebody out of being in a cult.
Well, that clip of the doctor you played is a great display of what we're dealing with here. Anyone that is staunch anti-vax, there's more to it than that. There's other issues.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just the manifestation of some other things going on. I mean, that's the only explanation. Like, look at that doctor. She's a whack job. This allows her to bring out her wackiness.
Yeah.
Like, but she's one of those, there's over a dozen influencers that have been identified, and they make a crap load of money off that. Like, if you go to her website,
of course,
she's got all kinds of seminars about various things that have to do with vaccinations and mm-hmm. the works
yep.
that are all around $50.
Yep. She's not doing it for free.
No.
But you know, Dan, they're using a model that has worked for thousands of years. Where, you know, this organization that tells people that if they don't give them money, their loved ones are going to be stuck in purga fucking Tory. And so, no, seriously, this is a true story. And so it's the same model as religion. Joel Osteen is saying he needs more money from you people to talk right mm-hmm. to God and get mm-hmm. fuel for his private jet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something in it. There's something
I will. Mm-hmm. I will say something about it. I mean, the one thing that I find is, okay, so I know, the scientists, I'm not going to drill down and try and figure out how exactly the vaccine works specifically at the molecular level and all the spike proteins and stuff. I trust that people who are experts in the field.
That's right.
They all agree with each other for the most part. And, you know, there's going to be some little politics here and there. Not everything is going to be absolutely perfect. But the thing that drives me nuts is as soon as I get involved in a conversation about something and something comes up, then I feel it's on me to research it. And it's exhausting because to find the actual, whatever the counter is to the stupidity that has just come out of that person's mouth, mm-hmm. I have to say, okay, well, wait a minute. Where did you get the information from? Mm-hmm. Who's the person? And then what's the person saying? And then what mm-hmm. are the real people saying about, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know, like the tests aren't accurate. They're all false positive. The tracking information is all wrong and they're ignoring certain things.
Dan, to what fucking end? Do you ever ask that question?
Oh, yeah.
What's the answer? Like, what is the...
We're sheeple. That was part of the answer. We're sheeple. No, we're just following along.
To what, though? What is the end game? So this is all being done... all this deceit is being done for what reason?
Yeah.
For what reason? At the end?
Well, there's a few. There's the profits for the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
There's the thought.
They're doing all right anyway.
Well, yeah, but they, you know, anyway. Apparently they, you know, this is part of their, you know, world domination game. Yeah. Okay. And there's also, which doesn't, this one doesn't make any sense, that Bill Gates apparently, he's all been about vaccines for a long time and wants something to do with population control.
Because Bill Gates isn't making enough money with Microsoft. He's got to come up with some more schemes.
Well, even that doesn't make sense. If he really wants half the population to leave the planet to save the planet or whatever.
Yeah. I saw that.
But a bad idea, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
By the way, it's also a plot of a few movies. No offense, Dan. It really is. Like, that's the plot of a few movies where you kill half the people so that the event, because the planet isn't got enough room. It's a science fiction plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is interesting that the anti-vax movement, again, back in 2020 March, we wouldn't have thought we'd be having these conversations. Said you know, for instance, the person that you know that is staunch anti-vax is also somebody that's on a bunch of medications. Now, I've made this point a few times. You know, when you watch the broadcast television, they've got this drug and that drug, and their side effects are anal leakage, eyeball bleeding, and all kind of shit. And not once did that person ever think, "Oh, I better investigate this." You know what I mean? Like, we, as you said, we don't investigate it, Dan, because most of us go, well, I assume if they're selling it, they probably have had some, you know, they've had some experience in making it.
Uh-huh. Although that's weird because I'm not on medication, but I have anal leakage.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's different. That's because you're special.
Thanks.
You're special.
Thanks for sharing. My anus is quite fine.
Okay.
To be honest.
Yeah. Well, no one was saying it wasn't. He was just pointing out that he's not on a drug.
I was trying to be funny.
Yeah, it was a comedy. Most people forget that this is a comedy-based program.
Right.
Anyway, Dan, listen, man.
And anal leakage is one of the top comedy tropes.
It is. When you mention anal leakage, you're halfway to your punchline.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
I mean, is it as funny as sucking on it all I know? But my point, though, is lots of people, including your friend who's an anti-vaxxer, have taken drugs their whole lives. And not once did it occur to them, oh, I'd better research this shit because, you know, I have grade 10 biology. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, even aspirin or, you know, Advil or any of those, they all have side effects. And, you know, you go with it. It's like, well, okay, it's temporary.
Well, and you decide, are the side effects of taking this drug temporarily worth what it's going to combat?
And I would say to an anti-vaxxer, okay, no vaccines, none of us are going to take it. Let's pretend none of us did. So you're under the impression that eventually people will just get bored of this and it will disappear because it was fictional to begin with?
Well, like, yeah, they don't believe it was real to begin with, right, Dan?
Well, this is what I mean.
That's right.
So none of us get vaccines and then all of a sudden it'll just be out of the news and it will disappear because it never really existed. Is that the deal?
Yep.
Well, not necessarily out of the news, but it's overblown. It's nothing worse than the flu. The flu, people die, the flu.
So all those people that died, you know, I have the, just for the first time this morning, I had it up, the worldometer, you know, so in Canada, those two, here it is, 25, you know, we forget sometimes that in Canada, this beautiful country of ours, 25,791 of our citizens have died. So they died just like, because I'll tell you what, in 15 months of the regular flu, you don't get a quarter of a thousand, you know, 25,000 people dying from it.
Yes, but they died of something else, maybe. They use the same, the argument is the same as if you get the vaccine, all these things happen to you. If you don't get the vaccine, all these things that happen to people are a lie. But if you take the vaccine, anything that's reported, you know,
it's a crazy mess.
Every time you're walking in quicksand because you cannot exactly nail anything down because there's always a but this.
So what's going to happen to that person and other people like them when vaccine proof of vaccination becomes an issue in different parts of society? Because it's already going to be the big issue of the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're. I mean, that's where we started the story with. You know, the Ohio legislature is banning it along with Florida. I think Texas is,
of course,
on the books or coming along with that as well. And that's what's going to happen is this argument's going to continue on about people. And you know, there's actually an ethical argument to be had if you want to get into it about, you know, like separating people in society and second class. Well, I mean, there is. I'm not saying you want to agree one side. But, you know, you can have an intelligent discussion about that because it does marginalize.
This is life and death, and we needed a vaccine to help the world. So, you know, like, okay, so is it if you go to some African country or whatever it is and you need proof of vaccination, is that an issue?
Well, I'm not – the question is more to do – I mean, well, okay, here's one of the ethical side. Let's say you can't really take the vaccine because you are worried about, you have such a poor immune system or, you know, you react to vaccines.
Yes. Right? There will be exceptions, yes.
There would be exceptions. So then you start, like, yeah. So those people who are accepted, are they accepted into society? You know, like.
No, but and Dan's right to agree. There is an ethical conversation to be had about having to enact or give proof of. But as you say, Freddie, there's lots of countries you can't travel to without yellow fever, malaria vaccinations, inoculations. And yes, there will be some people in society that can't take a vaccination for whatever reason.
But that's where you start parsing it out. If you have a regulation about, like, you know, like you can't travel from one zone to another zone if you haven't been vaccinated, you know, country, whatever you figure it is. So you're keeping people sort of so just because you can't have that vaccine, then you can't. There's things that will limit your travel,
your movement,
for example. It's not that you're not accepted in society, but, you know, there's things that you have to, like, you can't work in a hospital unless you get vaccinated. That kind of regulation kind of makes sense.
I know, but Dan, that was funny. We also talked about that earlier. This story out of Texas, there's this huge hospital chain where the guy had to come on the TV and say, yeah, a couple hundred of our employees, nurses, healthcare workers aren't getting vaccinated, which is. We're going to fire them because we're a hospital. People are coming here by definition immunocompromised.
Immunocompromised?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it's going to be complicated there, Fred, man. You know?
Well, it's, you know, it's exhausting. I mean, here in Canada, right, Phil? I mean, there are certain countries on earth that are harder to immigrate from to Canada. Some are harder than others. Is that fair? Is that separating people? Like,
Canada is harder than others, and in some ways you could say it's unfair, but at the same time, we have standards. Other countries have standards. That's why you're taking yellow fever vaccination.
Even that conversation you talk about, Dan, and you're right, but the thing is, what rules the day here is it's just a logical thing in this situation.
And if I were the type of person that couldn't take a vaccination and I wanted to travel to name a country that you need to be vaccinated to, well, guess what? I guess I just won't go there because my body won't take the yellow fever vaccination. Oh, well, I'll go someplace else.
Yeah, sucking on it, land.
That's good. Yeah, sucking on it, then down here all night long.
I had to share sexy texts to the Canadian government. I mean, what's a vaccination in comparison?
Yeah,
I just have to send them dick pics.
Almost. I said, that's right. There's a pic, and then took the pic out.
I'm sending a letter to sucking on it, care of all night long. Dan Duran's news and commentary brought to you by City Parent Magazine, Canada's largest award-winning free regional parenting magazine, serving families for 35 years. Cityparent.com is the newly redesigned website. Pick up your free copy at convenient locations all around the land. Cityparent.com. How many govs have you done? Two? Have you done two govs?
I'm doing another right now.
Last one coming up. Okay, beauty.
Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians. Do your part. Get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the government of Ontario.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think we all had a good time. And Dan, we thank you for your time because I know it's valuable. You're busy. Your immune system's busy fighting off some scabby, pussy scabbies. And how's that working out for you? All right?
I've come around. I've only got a few scabs left. Well, yeah, I'm not as gross as I used to be.
No, you were never gross. You probably pulled it off.
Yeah. By the way, I checked suckingonit.com. Doesn't seem to be used right now.
How about all night long? Okay. Is suckingonitallnightlong.com?
CA.
All right, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Nope. A place we saw the lights turn low. The jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts. Two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands, or just clap your hands.